Welcome to the Gary Gallaher Law Hour. Attorney Gary Gallaher and his firm have represented thousands of Hawaii workers and families during more than 35 years' practice throughout the islands. Whether helping countless workers exposed to asbestos unknowingly in their jobs, filing suit against gas companies for unfair local pricing, or representing the state of Hawaii and winning a settlement against Big Tobacco, the Gallaher Law Firm helps fight for consumer advocacy and fair play for the people of Hawaii. No kopono on your behalf. Now, Gary and his team are here to take the mystery out of what they do and answer your legal questions. So here's the host of our show, Mike Buck, and Hawaii attorney, Gary Gallaher.
Hello and welcome to the program. Glad to have you with us. If this is the first time, where you been? If it's the second time, I guess we did okay last time, and you're willing to come back. It's kind of interesting because today we just talked about in the opening there, Team Gallagher. Team Gallagher, I should say. And I want to tell you what's interesting to me is that this is actually a team discussion that we're going to have. So no irony here. This is just the real deal. Gary, nice to see you again. And I want people to understand that, you know, we're trying to do the big picture of who you are and what you do. But really what you've been known for outside of the tobacco settlement and all the work you've done on asbestos is finding people that have a common need. And there's some really injustices going on. Tell us a little bit about what we're going to do today with regards to concussion awareness.
Okay, you're right. We have focused primarily on defective products, and we have another one here that's at the heart of our favorite pastime, i.e. football. We all love football, and we want to preserve it. We want to keep it.
Sports is so important in Hawaii. Attorney Gary Gallaher and his firm have represented thousands of Hawaii workers and families during more than 35 years practice through out of the islands, whether helping countless workers exposed to asbestos unknowingly in their jobs, filing suit against gas companies, or representing the state of Hawaii. They do. That's their whole purpose. The NFL, that's their marketing pitch. The Gallaher Law Firm helps fight for consumer advocacy and fair play for the people of Hawaii. Rugby, it's small compared to the giant number in football.
Why, Gary, and Hawaii are here to take the mystery out of what they do. Monday night football, boom, they celebrate the violence of the whereas Hawaii attorney Gallaher and UH people are doing serious research right here in Hawaii that's cutting edge.
I can remember.
Help our kids here locally, but nationally it's going to have a huge benefit.
I can remember when coaches told me, take that hat and drive it right into that solar plexus. Just take that thing and pile drive right through that guy. Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes, sir, I said.
That was old school. Before I started surfing, I played football. I played fullback. The old standard, my dad was a football player. So, he got his bell rung on that one. He loved football. And the players love it to this day. And we don't want to take that from him. No. We just want to make it safe.
Okay, well, that being said, when I said it's no irony, it's Team Gallagher. And you have a team approach to everything you do. So today, we're going to learn from an outside of the firm person the severity of this and what and why we need to spend so much time on it. So Nathan Murata, Nate is a PhD. He is currently the chair of the University of Hawaii Kinesiology and Rehabilitation Sciences. And that's something you'd hope a kid, Nate, doesn't need. But by the time you get some of these football players, haven't they had years of getting their bell rung?
Yes, that's awfully true. And the rehabilitation piece also in our department reflects the cognitive as far as the physical piece as well. So we cover all aspects.
When somebody asks most local people in Hawaii, where did you go to school? They mean, where did you go to high school?
Correct.
But in the case of the University of Hawaii, when UH pops out, it's a big deal. And we've prided ourselves on this contact sport of football, haven't we not?
Yes, we have.
Talk about when your school and when your department first started to realize, hey, we have a lot of work to do here.
Well, it's been about 5 years since 2010. When we meaning my team, which includes Ross Oshiro, who's currently at Queens Hospital, and Troy Furutani, who's at the with me at H-Camp. But the three of us are currently the catalyst of H-Camp. However, H-Camp itself was started by the many, many athletic trainers currently in our public schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure that we give a shout-out to them because they were instrumental in helping us develop who we are today.
And Gary, that being said, once again, we want to make sure that we're looking here not as an antagonist, but as an investigative. You're still looking at the length and breadth of this issue, but it looks to me, the more we see, the more there is, particularly as we get a little older. So let's talk about what we're trying to do here today and why it's so important to have Nate part of the conversation.
Oh, it's huge because the NFL has had their business model and their multi-billion dollar business on keeping people in the dark. Mm-hmm. We're bringing light to that, and we just want full disclosure, honest disclosure of what goes on in various sports, and particularly football, that causes these concussions. For decades, the NFL denied there was any long-term neurocognitive problems when, in fact, we represent an ex-NFL player, John Wilbur, mm-hmm. who died of CTE, which is chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That is only caused by traumatic blows to the head. And the NFL denied that, and had doctors, lapdog doctors, that defended them. The other end of the extreme of the evidence is the wonderful, wonderful work that's been done here in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And the research that Nathan is in charge of covered actually multiple sports, both Wahine sports, and it's surprising to me when you looked at all the sports that they did their original work on, the highest incidence of concussions was Wahine judo.
Wow. Yeah.
And it goes to show you how sophisticated mm-hmm. it is, the concussions in human beings are caused by the fluid around the brain that's inside the skull and has to do with the skull architecture. And when it's rapidly stopped or decelerated or hit with 100 Gs, and that's where the research needs to be done. And the NFL is trying to keep it in the dark. We're trying to get more light on that. And Nathan is the cutting edge and what they've been doing. They've done work here that has not been done anywhere in the United States. So we're very, very fortunate to have H-Camp and the University of Hawaii.
That's why I'm so glad to be able to peel this back, because even though Gary is talking about professional football players and everything else, I guess the detection at an earlier age is the key. So obviously, college football is not the NFL. But if you take a look at recently, just the other day, Marcus Mariota signed a multiple million-dollar deal, which means the incentive here in Hawaii for a lot of our young kids is to go out and play as hard as they can.
Sure. A lot of students, particularly at the St. Louis where Marcus went to, has seen a significant growth in just the participation at St. Louis and multiple other schools that want to mirror what Marcus has done.
What can they learn from the work that you're doing as far as recognizing when a kid's been hurt? Or, I remember before just, hey, suck it up, kid. Get back in there.
Right.
I'll tell you when you can take a rest.
Right, yeah. We refer that as old school. And
that's what I
was part of that old school regime way back in the day.
You play a little ball in your day?
I try to. Yeah. Luckily, I'm still here sitting and mm-hmm. having this conversation, so that's a good thing. I think what's important right now for the student athletes to realize is that there are safer methods of participation, but it also stems from the coaches and the coaching techniques that are currently being delivered in the schools.
What I'm a little bit worried about, and we can go back on this for a long time, a dear friend of mine who is a practicing dermatologist, he told me once, Gary, that you could get a sunburn in one day, and it may not manifest as a melanoma for 20 years. So what is medicine and what is your study of this, of these concussions, showing how long ago could something have happened that manifests in a symptom, a long time later, maybe with a bad hat?
We have lots of players, ex-NFL players that are coaches here. Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful history of football. And when you talk at a personal level to many of those, there's long-term neurocognitive problems.
Mm-hmm.
They have a hard time remembering things. Instead of that coming on at age 70, it's coming on at age 30 or 40.
You can't see it coming either, can you?
Oh, really? No. Yeah. I mean, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, but when the coach is driving around in circles and can't find his parking spot and there's five available, mm-hmm. there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about what can be done about it. Because obviously, Nate, the work that you're doing at H-Camp and in other areas is to catch this at an early age where, like Gary said, mm-hmm. nobody's trying to make people stop playing playing football. But maybe if we stop realizing that the helmet is not a weapon, and that there have been some rules and some things changed, but maybe not enough yet?
Yes. Well, the rules are slowly beginning to change. NFL needs to take the lead on this, and I believe they have done so. But quite frankly, I believe the Pop Warner level has taken much more of a proactive role in limiting the amount of contact, how much time they can spend on the field, whatnot, to provide that safe learning environment for young children. Our work has been done primarily at the high school level.
Okay.
From 9th to 12th grade.
Okay, now, Gary, the thing that I'm really worried about, when we first met and started talking about this part of your practice, looking into these concussions, I'm thinking here in the country, there are tens of thousands of potential sufferers as a result of this. I mean, it must be an exponential number. How many kids are playing football? How many kids are playing college football? How many kids are playing pro football? There's tens of thousands of injuries out there.
Oh, you're exactly right. And they go undiagnosed or until families, they have a star football player in their family that did well in high school and or college, and then all of a sudden the person can't keep a job, or he can't go on to professional school, or he's living on a park bench. And there's a whole group of sequelae of things that come along, whether it's junior sayout, suicide, whether it's domestic violence, whether it's the downhill spiral caused by self-medication, of painkillers. So it's silent, and people are just unaware of the cause of it, wherein, in fact, the NFL at the highest level, quite frankly, teaches treats players like they're expendable.
Well, what's the NFL? It's a money machine, right?
Well, that's exactly right. Well, we're fine. We want to keep the pastime, but we want them to change and be transparent and be honest. And that's what, at the research level, for instance, there are inventions out there, and research has developed what they call smart helmet. They have accelerometers in them that can transmit immediately to the sidelines. It's a HIT program, HIT. And that's the research we want. That's the research we need at every level. So we know the fullback, you know, or this and that, what kind of specific thing that is happening. For instance, just to prove the helmet is the cause, 60 or some odd percent of all concussions are in practice. Had one coach say, Gary, you want to get rid of concussions? Get rid of the helmet.
Hey, you know.
Well, we're not going to do
get
that.
Rid of practice.
We just want to, cut it back in springtime. Maybe instead of 5 days a week during a regular year, we cut it back. And when the concussions start to fall, and I disagree with Nathan here, it's not the NFL going to lead the way. We're going to drag them to the well like a jackass. They just won't go because it's money.
Yeah.
And whereas if we lead the way and show the concussions can fall, that's what's going to lead the way. Education, because parents are not going to put their kids in their old blood sport. They're going to want it to be as safe as possible, and there is an intelligent way to do it. And Nathan, the University of Hawaii, are leading the way.
Okay, well, let's find out about that, because the department itself, let's talk about, you're the chair of the kinesiology department. And part of that is recognition, right? You know, identifying what's wrong with this player, what's wrong with this kid. And then you talk about rehab. I mean, I'm worried that, like what Gary said, that one of the down the road problems of this whole condition is self-medication, over-medication. What kind of rehab is there? I mean, you know, is it something you have to do with drugs?
Well, at the high school level, we are at a very, very much in a real good position statewide, because we're the only state in the union that requires certified athletic trainers in all our public high schools. So that is the first step. The trainers are the key people on the playing field, on the practice field for all our guys. They are the ones, they're the first line. We call them the front line people. And they are the ones to see if a student athlete gets concussed, and then the coaches, and then, but they're the main people. The type of rehabilitation, specifically to answer your question, is we're looking at more from a point of view of what is called a gradual return to play protocol. Now, the rehabilitation that we're talking about, the most important one is the cognitive rest that's associated when the student is concussed at the first time. Okay. But then there's conversations going on about the length of time the student should be in and out of play and resting and whatnot. And so we're slowly beginning to have more definitive data with regard to that area.
Yeah, Gary, it sounds extremely noble that, you know, there's a processes that's been set up, a certification that's been set up. In a perfect world, if everybody followed the rules, then we wouldn't have a problem. Do you see any way of avoiding this going forward? You talked about a helmet that transmits. You have to have somebody at the other end saying, this kid's got to come out.
On that, let's just back up a little bit. What Nate's been talking about and what you have been driving at as far as rehab, there's no instant cure for this.
Sure.
From my vantage point, where we want to go is preventing or lowering the number. If we can cut the number of concussions in half, because the evidence is still emerging, but sub-concussive hits, meaning less than what causes a concussion, can lead to a whole cascade of chemicals coming out inside the brain trying to repair itself, taking itself online. It's a very delicate organ. So what we need to do is make gradual changes to prevent the injuries in the first place.
What was the wake-up call? I mean, you are passionate now. You know, you're on the Gary Gallagher path of fixing this. How many people across the country have realized, and why did it take so long before we realized the accumulative effect of this sport?
Because the NFL suppressed the evidence. We learned they denied there were any long-term neurocognitive effects from repetitive head injury. They said, no, never did. Well, it was first diagnosed as CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which our NFL player, John Wilbur, died with. Diagnosed here in Hawaii, and his brain was sent and diagnosed and confirmed. And it's in a brain bank with 100 others in Boston, and it's tragic. Well, there was a New York Times article that came out tracing the history of, it's probably 2 years ago, of a enforcer in hockey, 28 years old, died, hideous disease. Same thing happened with him, and I just couldn't get that grisly picture out of my mind. When we were brought in order to evaluate what really happened to John Wilbur, I had three of my team and myself go to a traumatic brain injury seminar and learn the medicine, learn the mechanics. And that's where we learned that the helmet won't protect this. It only protects from a skull fracture and not concussions. And nowhere did they reveal, the helmet looks like it would protect you. It's so sophisticated looking. But
It looks like a nose cone of a rocket is what it looks like.
Oh, man, it does. You look inside, they're really fancy, but it won't protect the brain from these long-term neurocognitive efforts. And what really got me going was there was this class action settlement that was going to give pennies on the dollar and exonerate the NFL without producing one piece of paper. But the long and short of it is, when we found out that evidence that we found out, I said, we got to get this word out to Hawaii. And that's when my staff started reaching out and seeing what worked and where we were. And we sponsored financially the Neuro Huddle at the University of Hawaii.
Yeah, I want to talk
forward the work that primarily HCAMP had done.
Okay, now I want to tell you that it's a coincidence, because this is a small place. As you've learned on previous programs, Gary and I go way back. We've known each other for decades. And I also have been a personal and family friend of John Wilbur for decades. And to watch this man, who was a hero to many and a great football player, and then later on a great mentor to many other great football players, as a player's agent and as an athlete that right to the very, very end of his life tried to stay in shape, it didn't look like there was anything that JW could have done to change what happened to him. In other words, there was no treatment, there was no magic. He just virtually went away as a result of throwing himself into his sport.
No, that's the tragic part. And so your question to Nathan was, you know, what are you doing for rehab or what? There is no magic answer. Yeah. There's research being done. And at first they were taking him out for no time at all, turn around and go back in. Then the research indicated that if they were out for a while, do better. But research is more complex than that. The kids get isolated, and that's not good for them either. So the research is ongoing, and it's clear to me it's not the rehab. You want to avoid the problem in the first instance.
Sure. Let's talk for a moment, Nate, about another team. And that's about another team sport, and that's baseball. Okay. I do know that from a young age, especially pitchers, that coaches, their rules, that a kid can throw so many balls and that's it. Is there going to be some way to say that a kid can register so much on this scale that's in the helmet, and that's it, he's got to come out, he got to rest?
Well, I think getting to a point where you can actually have accelerometers and specific data, valid data measuring devices built into any kind of helmet, I think, yes, there may be that time where you can have a point where you can say, hey, enough is enough. I think you need to stop and pull the kid.
Okay, what's the good, the bad, and the ugly about what's this going to cost? What's this going to cost the sport? It sounds to me, yeah. I mean, you know, it's going to cost a little bit more than a smartphone to do this.
Right. Right now, the average helmet cost for one of those heavy-duty space, rocket launcher ones. It's about $300+ per helmet. Yeah. So can you imagine having all the sophisticated data gathering information within the helmet?
Add a zero right off the bat.
Right? It's clearly going to be something way out and make it very, very difficult for the average student, if you will, and even high schools in particular.
How's the football program going to absorb a cost?
Yeah,
like that,
I mean, it's going to be tough.
Gary pointed out something that's really important to this conversation, folks, and that is we're going to be actually looking for people that are in this category or that feel that they might be in this category, because like a lot of other things you've done, Gary, there are a lot of victims of circumstance that are unaware of that, and that we're going to be looking for them.
That's absolutely true. The families will know if they're kid had been a star student, and then all of a sudden they're not anymore. Mm-hmm. And the kids are so passionate about the game. It means so much to them. And I know, you know, one client that we're monitoring is in law school now, and a standout, incredible player, both high school and college, but he can't concentrate to write papers. Mm-hmm. That's typical of how it unfolds. But to go back to Nathan's earlier point, or your concern about the cost, from my vantage point, I think we don't need the magic sophisticated Star Wars helmet for every single player. We need the data generated on what kind of hits cause what kind of injuries.
Sure.
And if that's correlated, we don't have to have that sophistication of the HIT or the HIT program for every team, but just some, to get the data, and that's what I would like to see.
Our sport, though, Gary, is different than any other in the world. I mean, when you talk about most people, when you say football outside of the U.S., they're talking soccer, you know, and there's no helmets. And we have this game that's really, you know, we're taking people and we're making these big, huge bodies slam into each other for entertainment.
Yeah, I understand that's the current state of it is, but once people understand that they're putting their kids out there, and you may as well have their brains on the outside of the helmet be having each other, mm-hmm. hit each other, they won't do it. So it's educating. Mm-hmm. By the same token, I, the optimist, I, the creative person, want to come to this. How can we change the rules? We don't want Jim McMahon to get picked up and slammed down. Okay, mm-hmm. the player who did that should be benched for the year.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be namby-pamby and make more money by more violence. They got to learn their way, and we have to lead the way, I think. Number one, with the kids maybe playing flag football until age 14, and then the rules get changed. How? Subtly sophisticated kinesiologist studying. You know, for all I know, if you hit from different angles, or the quarterback has to be protected and not just these blind hits where they just go off the rails. I think we can modify the game year by year just with an intelligent application of scientific principles.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And Nate, I would imagine that's probably one of the most difficult areas to deal with a coach, because the coach is being charged with, you're going to get paid money, you're going to win football games. We have to keep this property going. I think it's very interesting what Gary was saying a minute ago, and that is that we are once again doing something in Hawaii that's going to be serviceable to other places. So it must be kind of a daunting task that you're taking, realizing how many people are going to have to sign off on this to get behind what the new concept is toward the game.
Yes, and it's going to be a challenge. But yet, I think the people meaning the community, mm-hmm. the high schools, clearly the University of Hawaii, and even some of our state legislatures are actually on board and wanting to help promote safety, health and safety of our children and our high school kids in particular. So I think we're in a position where we've got a lot of people on the bandwagon, and we're wanting to keep the wagon moving forward. Mm-hmm. And we plan to do so the best we can so that we can continue to operate H-Camp on a statewide basis, because we are on a statewide basis. And in particular, not only the high school student athletes, but the youth sports programs.
Originally,
and the community.
Was this met with a bit of skepticism by coaches and trainers?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. I think it pretty much was well embraced early on, and to the point where all coaches now have to go through an annual training of concussion-related information and other sorts. Even some parents are required to attend trainings and whatnot.
I think that's really great because one of the things that we said in the very beginning was most of the time a crowd reacts or the rest of your teammates react or you react when you've done something to hurt somebody. Hit somebody so hard that they lose the ball and their helmet comes off and they drool. You know, and that's kind of what the game is. But now maybe we can celebrate different accomplishments in a game rather than laying somebody out. Like, are we doing enough to protect a quarterback? Who else do we have to protect? Running backs? Ends? You know, receivers, who gets protected? Everybody?
Not everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, I mean, we haven't done the study yet, but we did look at position players, the amount of concussions. That's one area that we have not really delved into to the extent that we want to. And just because of the lack of resources on our end, personnel in particular, to do that?
I was a position player, okay. And Gary was not. Gary was a runner, so he knew when to avoid getting hit. But I would imagine that you have the same memories as I did, that you got praised or complimented when you either hit somebody really hard or scored.
Yeah, but Mike, as Nate said, that's old school.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's old school.
Yeah.
We're talking about the most precious entity we have in life, the human brain, and our kids at that. We can use our intelligence, and Hawaii is a vanguard in this regard. I want to just back up and put in this context. Nate is very humble about what they've accomplished, but we have traveled around the country and attended seminars and met with the national researchers in Boston, and they are dumbfounded on how well and organized we are in Hawaii. We have very unique circumstance. We have one school district. Mm-hmm. We have legislators that are very interested in funding the research that's been going on. Senator Jill Tokuda has been very important in underwriting the research, mm-hmm. and is very concerned. And we're trying to figure out ways on how Nate's work can go forward. The other point that's so important, that on the mainland, they try to help school district by school district or this city or that city. And it's all alienated, if you will, or patchwork, whereas in Hawaii, it's one unified feeling and community. And that is so important. So the researchers at the University of Boston are really looking at Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And when we call them...
Isn't that gratifying?
Oh, it's fabulous. Yeah, that's why I'm so excited that we really, really can make a difference here. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, Nate, I do know that in a perfect world like we're trying to talk about, that all of this stuff would just, like a deck of cards, shuffling together and everybody be happy. But the challenges are what I'm interested in. I mean, having this recognition is terrific, and you're to be lauded. But what about going forward? What do you look at some of the hard part of what you do?
Well, you know, just to take a step back, you know, we, in addition to Senator Tokuda, we also have been very much generously funded by the Department of Health, mm-hmm. more specifically the neurotrauma supports. They are our lifeline, if you will, to the university, to H-Camp, to keep us going for these past 5 years. Clearly, their source of funding is not in perpetuity. It's something that will sunset very shortly. Mm-hmm. It is our responsibility, mine in particular, to take on this task of working with the community, working with the state legislatures, and our stakeholders.
Back in 1995, when you cranked out of Ohio State University,
yes.
Did you have any idea that you were going to be, excuse the expression, wearing that hat today?
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
So it's a circuitous route, but what do you think is I already know Gary and the passion that he's got in a lot of things. What's fueling your fire? Where's the light at the end of the tunnel here?
I went into this business because my passion is being in the kid business. Mm-hmm. That's what I chose my professional or my career path to be. So whether it's education children in the schools, like Gary, I'm also a special ed teacher by training. Mm-hmm. Not only helping them in the schools academically, but athletically, recreationally, all that quality of life issues, which includes mm-hmm. a lot of things. That's what drives me. And the fact
that interesting, you know, Gary, you know, how you ever met Nate is a miracle. I mean, you know, look at the similarities in the background, albeit you a decade or two before him, or three.
No, we have a wonderful team put together, and Clarice Kobashigawa, associate in our office, reached out and started working with the H Camp people, and she's been coordinating, and she keeps me apprised of what's going on, and I try to attend as much as I can. Mm-hmm. But again, it's our team effort. But I was playing golf this morning with Eddie Chung, another good friend, another mm-hmm. special ed teacher out in Haleiwa 40 years ago. We were playing this morning. But as his wife once observed, it takes a different degree of compassion mm-hmm. to be a special education teacher. And I think that's an asset in the kind of work I do. And I still, to this day, that article about that that enforcer in hockey, Bogart, it just sends mm-hmm. shivers down my spine. I think we would intentionally let our kids play that kind of game. We can modify the mm-hmm. game. We can modify sure. the rules. And I think the optimist Gary thinks that, you know, we're not going to have blind hits. The guys that do blind hits, if we had the Richter scale on the helmet and the smart hat, and the guy gets blindsided and it goes off the scale, the guy hit that, whatever that rule was, it needs to be modified or looked at. Whereas if that same player can bring the tackle down, bring the guy down, and not move the Richter, that guy should be rewarded.
Okay, but here's my area of concern. I mean, I know you as a practicing attorney that has been leading the charge in a number of areas to get, you know, just compensation for people that need it. So there's three or four things going on here. One is working with Dr. Nate and his department at reducing or identifying the risks now for little kids coming up, and then maybe mitigating it for little guys that have already had some damage, but they can get fixed. And now we got a whole group of people out there by the thousands and thousands that it's their football playing days are over, but their injury related symptoms are not.
Well, there's a lot of work, legal work, needs to be done. And this class action settlement that we opted out of, not one document was produced by the NFL. What internal knowledge they had, what communications they had with the helmet companies, because I think those companies are going to pay for the current injuries that are already out there.
You've got some really incredible aircraft-related memorabilia in your office. That's your passion. I know people that have sporting collections of helmets, of balls, of jerseys, and all of these things. And when you look at the change from the days, I was just out of the leather helmet days without a face guard. I mean, when I started playing football, you know, you had this one little bar across the thing. Now we've dressed this thing up, like you said before. It's the helmet. It empowers a kid to be all he can be, and maybe not so good.
No, I mean, if we had rules, number one, I mean, I'm simplifying this, and we need to do a lot more work. I want to get with the sophisticated rules people and kinesiologists that looked at this closer in Virginia, West Virginia. They've done a lot of work on the helmets, and Seattle is trying to develop a safer tackle at New Hampshire. They're working on this. There's a lot of smart people looking at it. We need to get those experts here to help us. But where I really want to go on this is that we can alter this to where we don't have to have just a blood sport. And it's not just a black or a white. There's a thousand permutations of this, and we're limited only by our creativity and willing to look at it carefully. We can make gradual changes, Mike, that within the next 5 years, look how fast gay marriage changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can get education out there, and rightfully so, to make it safer and still exciting. With Hollywood's angles and videography and the music and every of those producers they have, we'll have Monday Night Football, but we're not going to have so many maimed people following the game. Okay, and in the meantime, we're not going to be the grist mill for the NFL. We're going to do the smart way in Hawaii.
Okay, now, that being said, and that's a very, very lofty goal, attainable, but lofty. Talk about the pressure that is on the coaches and the rulemakers to adapt to change. In other words, are they taking your research and your studies to heart to the point where they're saying, okay, this rule's got to change. In other words, we're protecting the quarterback, but it looks like it's a bigger job than that.
I've witnessed some practices across the island in particular, and I believe the coaches are doing their due diligence and are working on best practice, effective coaching techniques to minimize injury. Mm-hmm. But I also think, too, that they're, because of our trainers that are currently in our schools, they're like the second set of eyes for the coaches, yeah. because some coaches may miss something that happened. And I think the trainers are there to pick up.
Yeah, that's a really good
point. And I think that's what makes Hawaii so unique from the rest of the country, because we have this. And it's due to legislation that was done years ago, way before my time, that the schools have this benefit,
yeah,
if you will.
You know, Gary, I'm worried about something else. I mean, you know, it appears to me as though this football is being looked at pretty critically and intensively right now. But look at some of the other sports that are out there that encourage you to really get hurt. We don't box anymore with helmets and the big gloves. Now we're MMA, where there's fist and bleeding and that stuff all over the place. What about kids that come up through society with those sort of values? I'm going to fight, and I'm going to play football, and I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to hurt somebody else.
Well, you know, we have to look at this in the big perspective and a bell-shaped curve. There's going to be some of that that we can't fix. And I'm a big advocate of freedom, but I'm a big advocate of freedom with full and informed consent and parents. For instance, Nate's group is giving educational seminars to not only the coaches or the trainers, but the parents. Mm-hmm. And they, besides the students, are in the most important critical role. We always need these eyes, because the parents' eyes are on their kids. They're seeing these things.
You know what? That's a good,
and then,
good point.
And the point is this. You know, a lot of parents say, oh, this is my kid's ticket to ride. He's so good, he's going to get a scholarship. Well, yes, but if you know not to do X, Y, Z, they're going to be the guardians of X, Y, Z. They're going to put pressure on, why should we change the rules? And we're all going to work this together as a community.
You know, Nate, it must be gratifying when a parent comes up to somebody in your profession and says, hey, you know what? I didn't even know what kinesiology was, and I certainly don't want to think that my kid has got a rehab, but I like that somebody else is looking after him or her. And I know that this, like Gary said, it's women's judo that had a big problem of it. Is it every sport that's going to benefit from this research and these decisions and these practices that you're developing?
Yes, and rightfully so, because while football gets the majority of the attention statewide,
ka-ching,
you know, and we've got, I mean, we reported on at least 14 sports that the high school students all participate in. So we have data from air riflery to canoe paddling to cross country. Cheerleading is another high one.
Mm-hmm.
Girls and boys soccer.
Competition.
They do those pyramids, and unfortunately, some of them do fall.
Gary, you said, though, that, you know, it's not the desire to cramp anybody's style or eliminate competitive sports, but we have to look at the upsides and the downsides. Are you thinking that maybe this concussion awareness, it needs to go a lot further than just football?
Oh, yes, there's no question. And Nate, that's why I salute them so much. He's been so modest in his research. It wasn't just narrowly focused on football. Mm-hmm. It was across the board, and other communities, other scientists, we wish they had that data there. And so we're really on to it, and I want to do everything I can. And Nate rightfully pointed out the Department of Health and the neuro trauma support giving money for this. I would simply point out that this research is just not for sports. If you have neurotrauma, that's trauma to the brain. So if someone has a stroke and it affects a certain part of the brain, that research can help other things. By the same token, if a football player gets hit and they all of a sudden they can't do what's only controlled one, this research overlaps. So it's the research is just not for football. It's for everyone in the state of Hawaii.
You know, what I think is sort of interesting, and when you first told me that was one area in which your practice and your team was specializing in, it became aware to me that, you know, most of us that play a competitive sport age out at about 30. You know, I mean, football particularly, you got 4 years in the NFL, if you're lucky, most guys, right? And yet you got 40 or 50 more years of being on the planet. At what? So, I mean, it sometimes you said it's the NFL because it's a money machine, and you take a look at these huge numbers, is it any... is it any wonder why kids and parents are willing to risk so much? Because of the reward.
That part, I understand. That's the whole business model, and that's where they get the incredible players that we see perform. But we need parents to be informed so they can put pressure in the right places so the kids can play it reasonably safe. It's not like I just can't drive this home enough. We can make incremental changes. And if it can reduce concussions and brain injury by 10, 20, 30, 40, that's somebody's life.
Sure.
That's huge. What higher calling could we have or do? So I'm very motivated by this, and I'm just so, you know, feel so fortunate to be hooked up with Nathan and his group and our whole team.
What I think is sort of neat, Nathan, is that Gary's talking about making these changes and realizing that you can't just flip a switch. I mean, you know, you can't go from 90,000 miles an hour to zero. So let's try to identify what some of the more significant and important early ones there are. What achievements have been, what's been achieved so far, and what's on the cusp?
I think one of the main things that we've been able to accomplish is the fact that relative to interscholastic high school sports, all students that are suspected of a concussion will automatically go through a gradual return to play protocol. Mm-hmm. Automatic.
Now, explain that. Gradual return to play protocol. You said that a little bit earlier.
Yes.
Let's define that what it is. In other words, there will be a process by which a kid can say, you're 100% again.
You can play. And normally it's monitored by an athletic trainer, but it's a seven-step process, and each step has a minimum of 24 hours associated with each step. First step would be complete cognitive rest. Second step would be gradual, you know, light duties, if you will.
Sure.
Step three, return to school, maybe with modifications. Step five, you can do stationary exercises on a bike under the supervision of a athletic trainer. Prior to all this, of course, you have to have physician's clearance.
Sure.
By all means.
Dot
you just can't.
One.
Yes.
Yeah.
just can't walk into it. And then usually by the fourth or fifth day, they can slowly get to put pads on or gear on and start to be a little bit more competitive. And then by day seven, they should be back into normal game ready mode, if you will.
So. You know what I'm worried about, Gary? I this is so noble, and I'm so glad that you facilitated me and Nate being able to meet today, because what he's doing is the real grunt work. I mean, the real discovery and then reaction. But let's talk about who's going to work on a kid to admit that he's not feeling so good. Because I know kids, you know, and I remember myself. You don't want to say you're hurt. You want to play. You want to do that. You want to score the next touchdown. So let's talk about, are the trainers, Nate, are they going to be able to recognize this in a kid and say, hey, you're not looking so good. Count to three. Or what's the examination on the field going to be like?
Well, they do have sideline or practice-related screening, assessment screening. But the beauty of what H-Camp has done since 2010 is that requires all student athletes to go through concussion cognitive testing, baseline testing.
Yeah.
So they all go through that, which H-Camp supports in all our 67 schools throughout the state. And all students then do baseline testing and prior to their sport. And then once a suspected concussion occurs, then there's a post-test that's done a day or two later, and then a neuropsych then helps us to look at the results. And that's the first step, if you will.
You know, Gary, I'm hearing here something that you mentioned earlier. We have to make sure that our audience, that we reiterate how fortunate we are to have someone of Nate's caliber and Ross Oshiro, who we'll meet at another time, and others, because we are sending discussions to the mainland instead of being victim of stuff coming to us. You mentioned a few other areas across the country. Since you practice across the country, you're all over the place. It seems that this is cutting edge, that what we're doing here can be bottled up and like pineapple juice and given to other parts of the country.
That's exactly right, and that's what I want to capitalize on. From a standpoint, you know, it would be wonderful if we had a sponsor come forward, you know, or the, you know, General Electrics of the world that do the sophisticated neuroimaging or imaging. That's what we need, and that's how these kids get diagnosed. That's where it's going, and I welcome that.
Yeah.
And the fact that Hawaii is going to be in the driver's seat I'm doing the best I can to bring everything to support Nate and his work because I see the future of it. The fact that it was so unique and he's been fortunate enough to get it as far as it had in the last 5 years, I think it's just the beginning.
What about this?
Promise you, you know, if somebody's getting hit in the head and we can measure and and the research can be done here, that information is going to go national.
You know, we talked earlier about John Wilbur, and maybe that was the scenario that really got you in tune with what the need is here. It seems to me that it's going to be more likely that families and others can realize what may be going on with somebody in their family or their relative as a result of that game. Do you think that there's going to be enough publicized stuff, what to look for in a person to see if they might be suffering from this concern of concussions?
Oh, I think it's happening already, and it's happening at many, many levels. I have a close colleague that played as a lawyer in Boston, played football at Harvard. His wife's another Harvard graduate medical researcher, and their kids wanted to play or playing, but they're pointing them in the direction to be a kicker or something. They don't want to take it away from the kid, but making more intelligent decisions. But the participation in football is falling precipitously amongst the more educated families. I want to salvage the game. I want to bring everything, and we can. And we can make it exciting, and it can make it just a whole lot safer.
Okay, now let's go back, though, to Nate, what you're doing on the field and in the schools. Mm-hmm. Because this unique opportunity, it reminds me of, I guess, the most famous soccer shot I've ever seen was Pele, mm-hmm. with the backward kick thing.
Right.
Are there going to be other things in football that you see, when you're talking to your coaches, that can be exemplified as really a cool thing, whether it's a kick or a pass or a punt or something? In other words, something other than getting an uptick reward for hurting somebody.
You know, I think it's, you know, you look at some of these helmets nowadays, since we're talking about helmets, you see a lot of these little stickers that kids get. You know, it makes it look like they did something really well and team goals and all that.
Oh, you see that?
I see that.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like Ohio State, they got a whole bunch of them. But the thing is, I kind of like to look at it more from a perspective of what are the coaches doing as far as the actual training and preparing the kids for the season. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, being more proactive. So, prior to them even touching pads or touching a football, what are they doing in the weight room to strengthen the core? What are they doing to strengthen the neck area to help them absorb contact?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like to look at it more from that perspective,
and the
because
part,
yeah, because
that,
because
right?
that's
yeah,
what coaches are asking us.
Sure.
That in
yeah,
these,
what can we do?
What can we do to solve and minimize? Well, I think it starts from when they're in shorts and t-shirts and running around and in the weight room trying to get stronger, but stronger for the right reasons.
Yeah, you know, Gary, what's really cool about this is we're talking about sports right now that nobody used to ever watch. I mean, when I first heard about soccer, I thought, what do you mean? A bunch of kids kicking a ball around. What sense does that make? And they score once every 5 days. It's not exciting like football. But, you know, you got fans that are going to those games and getting just as much of a thrill out of seeing a kid almost make a goal. In other words, we don't have to make the violent part of that game the headline of the game.
No, it's not. That's the business model of that. Mm-hmm. They celebrate the violence, and yeah. I agree with you wholeheartedly, but it's still the transparency of the research and the data that I want to see generated. For instance, these facts just keep coming by me, like in Wahine or in soccer, saying, oh, you can't hit the ball. Well, when they look at it, most of those concussions are players coming into contact with other players head-to-head. That's the problem,
exactly,
not
right.
the ball. Yeah. So that's the kind of education I desperately want to see the data generated for each and every sport. And there's going to be accelerometers that are going to be cheaper and cheaper. They don't have to be all Star Wars level like the HIT program, but they can be others. That information is going to be generated that coaches and decision makers that are making the rules can make intelligent decisions on how to do exactly what you say. We celebrate the athleticism. We celebrate the competitiveness and not just the blood sport.
Yeah. Well, you know, but once again, and I know the word keeps coming up, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, I love the game so much that, and I must tell you that I'm going to have to retrain myself, because I've come to appreciate somebody getting their bell rung, you know, and somebody getting causing a fumble and picking up the ball and scoring a thing, and but look at the other side of it, at this, now they're starting to talk about excess celebration. In other words, you don't celebrate when you knock somebody out. You know, maybe that's a step in the right direction. Maybe some of those things that Nate can get at the younger kid level will get upstairs. But you're a lawyer. Let's talk about the other side of it. Let's talk about how long is it going to take before we get this sport fixed, before it stops causing concussions.
Well, I think we're making positive steps here in Hawaii. I think we're an absolute leader, and we're going to continue in that. As to, I don't want to venture a time, but I'm doing the best, and you're doing the best now to get this word out. And on our website, I'll talk to our IT people, and I'll see if I can get those articles out there. You know, that got me percolating.
By the way, when he says website, it's GallagherLaw.com, GallagherLaw, GallagherLaw.com. Make it a place that you visit often.
Well, there was a three-part series I said in the New York Times, you know, a year and a half or so ago, on this enforcer and Hockey and Baumgartner, and they were so graphic as to what was happening to his brain and how his life just went down the drain. And it was no, in hockey, it's so extreme. He was brought in, you know, you could have counted the goals he scored on one hand.
Yeah,
he was in there to beat the hell out of the other side. And he was so tough and so good at it. And then, likewise, yeah, these big guys coming at him, and his brain paid the price.
Sure.
For what?
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah,
that's what I'm after.
You know what I'm worried about? I mean, I hear, once again, Nate, the passion in Gary's voice, and I don't want to be opposite him in anything, because I like his energy, but I'm worried about something. Like the other day, we saw an across the board decision to cut back on our budgets 10%, regardless, right in the state of Hawaii. How hungry are the birds in your nest as far as the funding and the expertise needed to keep the work that you're doing going? And how can people let their legislators know or something that there are certain things that you better not fool around with?
Well, we the first step we did was to form what is what we're calling, well, I'm calling the our Concussion Coalition out of the University of Hawaii. The
Concussion
Gary Gallagher
Coalition.
And yes, Clarice, et cetera, and many others were part of our initial meeting, if you will, which occurred last week with some very very prominent stakeholders. I think it starts there, and to make a lot more people realize that the work that's been done needs to continue, and no one would disagree that the work we're doing is not relevant to any particular population.
I think it's you know, so relevant that it should get near the top of the list. I mean, we're talking about our kids' lives and our
right.
our dad and our sisters and our everybody.
Right. So we're at that point now. So now we're trying to scale down to actually help the legislatures with maybe some modification, amendments to our current concussion law to make it so that it becomes a lot more meaningful with regard to the younger group, which the law doesn't really address. If more specifically, that's the piece I think we're working on. So not only at the high school, but we're looking at all kids statewide.
Okay, Gary, you mentioned earlier State Senator Chokuda was being extremely supportive here. There are an awful lot of people in the legislature that are lawyers and obviously aware of the fact that we really need to identify what's going on here and act on it. What's it going to take at our state level to get Nate and his project to fruition? In other words, to keep them going, to keep them funded, so that we start avoiding some of these damages that have been done to so many thousands already.
Oh, I think we're well on the trail, as Nate said. He gets credit, or his group gets credit, for coordinating the meeting, and Senator Tokuda is extremely interested and concerned about where this is going. And I know she's doing everything in her power. And I think the more citizens we can get to the table, to the discussion, everybody's got kids and relatives that play the sport. Everyone, look hard enough, can find people that have problems as related to head trauma. And we're just moving it in the direction as fast as we can.
Yeah, unfortunately, Nate, and I guess it's happens a lot, is that the other end of the rainbow, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow here is the NFL. I mean, it's the cash cow that gets created, and we keep watching these games and everything else. But it sounds like there is a way to temper what we appreciate. In other words, we appreciate a high jump that doesn't hurt anybody, you know, and maybe there are some things that the coaches are going to say, you know what? We better not celebrate the hits anymore. We better celebrate something else. Isn't that going to be what some of your research is going to help some of these guys get convinced of?
Yeah, I think it will. It certainly will benefit, I think, the state of Hawaii and a lot of the coaches. But like Gary was saying, you know, we are looking more macro.
Mm-hmm.
While a lot of the research, you may argue it's specific to Hawaii, but we kind of like to take the position that a lot of our work that we've done already is also can be viewed upon as a more of a macro level state across the country, perhaps. Mm-hmm. We could have a long discussion about scientific methods and blah, 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 whatever. My point is what we're doing, I think, is at least the initial catalyst to catapult us to a position where we can be part of like the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center with their concussion research and Boston sports legacy. I think we're at that. We have that potential.
So well said. So well said to the point, Gary Gallagher, that we're going to have to get together and do this again pretty soon. We're out of time for this version. I want to thank Dr. Nathan Murata, PhD, for joining us today. And Gary, we'll see you again next time on our Gallagher Law Hour. If you like what you heard, tell everybody. If you don't like it, like they used to say, don't tell nobody. But if you want to find more of what's going on, go to GallagherLaw.com. GallagherLaw.com. See you next time.
Well, that's our program for today, and we certainly hope you'll come back next week for our next episode. In the meanwhile, to learn more about Team Gallagher, log on to GallagherLaw.com. That's GallagherLaw.com.